welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 161. I ran out of breath. We're doing a pre-E3 show. I abhor these things. I can't speak for the rest of the cast, but tell you the truth, there wasn't nothing else unless you wanted us to talk about Glacinator's cooking and eating habits while he's in Boston. Yeah, John's pretty much normal. As normal as usual. So.
As usual.
So, so we could ask him what him and Roger talked about at work this week, I guess.
Wrestling, actually.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't go there.
Oh, no.
And Glacinator will be asleep for the whole show. Joining me this week, as always, obviously, and now that I've blown that all to hell, is Glacinator from Boston.
Yes, a whole other time zone. Exciting.
Oh, that's right, he's in the actual Eastern time zone.
I've been in three basements since I've been here. Three.
Anything interesting to report?
Interesting about Boston specifically? Everything here is really convenient. I mean, I'm used to living in the middle of swamp nowhere. Drive 30 miles to get bitten off by some wild animal.
Now,
here's like you walk 30 feet and there's a laundromat and like five restaurants and it's amazing.
Now, but I've heard something, and I've been told it's a myth, but I've been told it's the truth, that like everything closes at like 10 o'clock at night, though. It doesn't stay open late like I'm used to in San Francisco, Seattle, God help me when I gotta be in L.A., Vegas, Reno. Is there any truth to that?
In Boston?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess your normal restaurants do, but I mean, you always have your late night places.
Oh, you mean the pizza by a slice dive places that exist all over North America?
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of them, like in an enclosed area.
So. Are they near bars by any chance?
Probably.
I'm never sure who thought it was a good idea to put a pizza by the slice place so close to bars. And yet, I'm even dumber for thinking at 2 o'clock in the morning ever having one too many that sliced pizza sounds so damn good. It just never ends well. Also joining us, as he always does, I'm sure he's never drank too much and had sliced pizza. It's John.
Never, never, never. You're making me hungry, though, Bruce, I have to admit.
Well, haven't you had dinner at this point?
Yeah, but late night beer and pizza. That sounds great. That sounds like a Thursday to me.
Yeah, great. Now I got like another hour of a show before I can even think about eating. I just trapped myself that I'm the one that started it. Maybe I'll make some chicken nuggets wrapped in cheese and bacon and stuff for dinner. Continue on the health kick, Glacinator. Continue the health kick Glacinator's been on.
Try the Daniel diet. I'll die in 3 weeks.
And mind you, audience at home, this is without drugs or alcohol being involved.
True. That is true. This is very special.
I don't know. I'm starting to understand why we used alcohol as an excuse. rather than just insanity.
If I coded it in Jack Daniels, then it would be like freaking epic mealtime up in here. So
you'd have to deep fry it, though, then. It's just no other way.
I'll put it in the microwave.
Jack Daniels in the microwave. Yeah, I'm thinking that's not going to end well. Videotape it. That's all I'm going to say. Videotape it and have whoever survives post it on YouTube. Let's see if we can get this train wreck on track, maybe. Oh, it's not going to happen. But have you had any time in between cooking experiments, interning, and visiting basements all over Boston?
That's pretty accurate.
I kind of forgot that much like California, Louisiana doesn't have basements. Well, you could, but it'd be a swimming pool.
Yes, it'd be like a cavern.
Which would be kind of cool, actually, your own underground grotto swimming pool. Have you been playing any video games this week? I'm sure the audience gives much more of a shit about that.
Oh, you think? Oh, really? No.
Why do we care?
Well, this week, before I left New Orleans or Lafayette or wherever I don't even know where I'm from anymore. But okay, so for my trip up to Boston this summer, I decided to get a handheld game. Being on the fact that I'd be on a plane and I'm in a dorm without a TV and everything, so just having a lot of handheld games is, you know, a good idea to start buying them. So I picked up Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, off of the fact that it got good reviews, plus the fact that the Wii version got good reviews as well, the 3DS being a remake of the Wii version. And I have to say that it's actually a really good game. It's the levels are easy to get through, which I complain about a lot in a lot of games, but in this game, there's also secret stuff to collect. Like, you have different puzzle pieces to pick up, and you can pick up the different letters like that spell Kong, like in the original Donkey Kong Country. And doing that is hard. It's really hard sometimes. And I still haven't beaten a level where I've gotten all the puzzle pieces yet. So that says a lot about the replayability of levels and 100%ing. And I hate games where it's really easy to 100%, and this doesn't look easy at all. So I'm happy about that, about it being hard. Also, the graphics are really good. It looks really good in 3D, especially in the cutscenes before boss battles. And when you enter a level, the camera sort of zooms in to Donkey Kong and Diddy, like in the area that you're playing. And it all looks really nice, especially in 3D when things start popping out at you. And the 3D also helps you determine sort of where secret areas are, because blocks sort of can... The secret areas are sort of hidden in these block areas that you... I think if you play in 2D, you couldn't really see them very well. But in 3D, they sort of pop out, and you can see how you can sort of maneuver behind the blocks into the secret area. So the only thing I do have to complain about in terms of graphic-wise is that it's incredibly small on the 3D, the normal 3DS. I know, John, you were talking about upgrading to the XL, which I think is incredibly smart, especially for this game, because especially in some levels where Donkey Kong goes into the background, he can go two levels into the background.
Oh, and yeah.
The very, very far back level. Yeah. When he gets really, really far back, he's like literally 4 pixels. And so, and plus you have 3D on, which makes it the screen smaller because it makes the different layers pop out. So it's like 2 pixels. So, and sometimes there's enemies jumping back there as well, and you have to do all these crazy jumps. So I'm like, I'm holding this 3DS, I'm like squinting, it's like 2 inches away from my face. I'm probably going blind. So that is annoying, and it is a problem, but I don't really see how they could have gotten a fix around for that. I mean, because the level's already, you know, made. But I mean, if you have a problem seeing, you can switch on 2D. I mean, that takes sort of the fun away, but I mean, if you can't see 2D, it looks fine as well. So yeah, I mean, it's a good game. If you have a 3DS, I suggest buying it. But if you can get it on XL, then definitely. I can definitely see it being much better on XL than on the normal 3DS. So that's what I've been playing.
I seem to recall some Nintendo games. I don't want to say Yoshi's Island, maybe. Or maybe it was one of the Mario Brothers. They all run together for me anymore. And that's just for me. It's not because they're similar or anything. Does he actually fade into the background when you're doing it on the Wii version, or is this something that's just 3DS?
John, did you play it on Wii?
No, I didn't, but I think it's more just a, like, let's say that the level is at, you know, the front plane, and you see, like, a boat in the water, you know, way off in the distance. He'll jump into a barrel, fire back onto the deck of the boat, do some jumping, get some bananas, and then get fired all the way back to the original plane. Is this a plane of view? And because he goes far away, he becomes smaller, you know?
Oh, so it's kind of like a foreground background thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like Paper Mario.
Okay.
Mutant Muds was doing it. I don't know if you played that on your phone or not after, but...
Yeah, I played the demo at least. I think I have the full game. But yeah, okay, so it's the old school trick with 2D of foreground, background kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that in some games. I could see how that would be a bitch in 3D.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really nice, and like the way the animation and what, like when he gets in a barrel and blows, you know, to the back of the screen, it looks great, but it's just that it's hard to see once he gets in the background.
Yeah,
sorry, John.
Oh, I was just gonna say I didn't even think about what it would look like on the regular 3DS, because, you know, I have the XL now, and you know, it's you know, he's way back there, and he's—I can't say he's small on the Excel, but man, because that old 3DS screen is tiny, really, in comparison.
Who would have thought that an XL wouldn't be like an XL version of a handheld wouldn't just be a gimmick? You know, because in a lot of cases, like, didn't they come out with a DSi XL super big size of a laptop?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And I didn't really see the point at that point in the DS's life cycle and game catalog, but in the 3DS, it sounds like it works. How much is it on 3DS, Glaze?
It was either $30 or $40.
That's not bad. At least it's not full boat.
I always
don't have a problem purchasing handhelds because I usually can justify like a $35 purchase for a handheld. That doesn't really bother me. So it's definitely worth $35 if it is $35.
Was it eShop or a cart?
I got it from the store.
Okay.
I might buy. Well, Animal Crossing is coming out in 3 days, guys. So, just letting you know.
Yeah. How exactly are we going to handle that next week? Because it's like the E3 show next week. Are you going to be able to contain yourself until the 20th, or are we going to just have to give you like your own 5 minutes of Animal Crossing happy joy parade?
Yeah, every time you ask me a question, I'm just going to answer. About Animal Crossing.
Have you been avoiding reviews?
I have, yes.
Okay. I have not.
Uh-oh.
I didn't... What? Why is it when I say that, it's automatically a bad thing? I didn't say
it. The way you phrase it, you're like, have you been looking at reviews? It's got a 1 star.
I have the same...
They kill off your character in the first 3 minutes, and then you get raped by a raccoon.
I play that game. I have the same asshole tone of voice whether I'm being nice or a dick. I'm not saying anything. I wasn't implying anything by that. I just was wondering if because you're so excited for it, you're just avoiding reviews, not so much for spoilers, but you know how even a 8 or 9 out of 10 can kind of tend to start to burst the excitement bubble. That's all I mean.
Just, more for spoilers, but just because I just don't want to. I like to keep the experience just fresh, you know. And so if I keep hearing about it, then I'm gonna be like, okay, this happens, you know.
I mean, I think the highest it's gotten is a 3 out of 10 from Joystick, but don't worry about that.
I'm sweating. What? Wait, I'm Googling this to make sure that you.
Just find the Metacritic number and see what that's at. Okay, while he's having a nervous breakdown, John, what have you been playing?
Wait. I did bring it up for a reason. I just didn't say it just because. But when that comes out on Sunday, I am probably going to get it on eShop if I can. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Just to save yourself the hassle of trying to hunt down an EB Games or Best Buy or something there. And
there is a GameStop in the mall, which is like 9 blocks away. Whoa. But I wanted to have it on my SD card because, I mean, Animal Crossing is a game that's good to have with you like all the time in case you just want to get on real quick. So I think it'd be more convenient just to have it permanently on the card.
Oh.
More so than having to switch it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I will be e-shopping it myself, but I'll give you a hot pro tip, Glaze. Make sure you've got an SD card that's big enough because.
Well, I have a 16 gigs.
Oh, okay. You should be safe with that then, because I had to change SD cards again for Donkey Kong, when I got it on the eShop. That thing was huge.
Yeah, I'd almost think anymore, wouldn't you be just best off to go 16 or bigger when shopping for an SD card for these handheld and mobile devices anymore?
Like, if you're just downloading small, the small downloadable titles that are, quick and to the point and simple graphics and stuff, but that Donkey Kong was like 4 gigs or 3 gigs, something crazy.
God damn, I'm trying to think of the biggest mobile game. I guess probably either Resident Evil 4 for my phone, one of the phones, or Need for Speed Hot Pursuit for the tablet. And I don't think either of those got over 4 gigs.
Yeah.
I know Resident Evil 4 took forever to download on that old iPhone 3GS. It was like, come on! I just had to finally put it in another room, and when it was done, it was done.
Screw you, Bruce. Animal Crossing has 88.
I'm
freaking out over here.
See, if he just left it alone, left my tone of voice alone, I wouldn't have fucked with him, folks. But he couldn't help himself, and so I just had to screw with him a little bit. No, the reviews.
It's like insulting my firstborn child here.
But you're the one that decided just arbitrarily that I hate the game. So I mean, it's kind of our thing now. No. All the reviews I've read have been positive. That's all I will say. Is joking aside for you other Animal Crossing maniacs out there, because if you're like him, I don't think I want to get mobbed by a group of you. It might not turn out well. But no, all the reviews I've read have been positive. Even from the more surly critics who usually don't go for the, you know, cutesy-wootsy games. What the hell was I going to say? But no, John, 4 gigs, that's a big damn game.
Now, I don't know if that's relative to the fact that it was a Wii title that got ported, but I would have to assume that Animal Crossing is probably going to be quite big.
I would say.
Yeah, it's going to be bigger than 4 gigs. It's going to be like 8, plus all your save stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Most of the free-to-play MMOs on Steam, and I know this because I tried several this week, were around 10 to 12. So I'm gonna say it'll probably weigh in at somewhere between 6 to 8. Just because you're talking about, you know, I mean, I used MMO as an example because I played some other games too that I downloaded, just because they're usually, you know, the heaviest hitters when it comes to hard drive eating. I don't know, that'll be interesting. But I see your point, and it's just better to keep it in an SD card than have to find a, you know, little cartridge or however it works with the 3DS. I admit, yeah. Completely ignorant on do they still have cartridges or what?
they do. And I actually had a quick discussion on Twitter with a friend of mine. He was saying that the fact that they actually even sell discs for consoles at all anymore is, you know, it makes him want to throw up because he has no time for discs. And I said I'm leaning that way, but. But as far as, you know, 3DS goes, I'll probably never buy a cartridge again if I can get it on the eShop, because it's just so handy. I can just open it up and go. I don't have to switch out things, or especially with Peter, I don't have to risk losing a cartridge, you know, because he's only 3. He doesn't know the difference, so I can just have it all in my hand, all on the go, just like a phone.
Well, and that's you just nailed why Nintendo's finally pulling its head out of its ass slowly but surely about online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my phone's got 7 games on it. Tablet's got 10. The old iPhone 3GS has probably got a dozen because it's not a phone. You know, I'm you know, basically a boot up away from playing almost every genre game you could fucking think of.
Yeah.
Including true RPG, I've got a couple on my Android device. You know, so, I mean, granted, they're the old school turn-based overworld Final Fantasy style ones, but yeah, I mean, I understand what you guys were talking about. As to your friend, it's funny because we talked about that way back, and I mean way back in episode 10, and I was pretty divided. I think Pat was right there with me, and Gunsage was just like, nope, physical copy, like Rain Man over and over again. But yeah, I'm almost to the point now where, why? I just don't need it anymore. Of course, then again, I look at my Steam games library. You know what? Hey, John, speaking of that, and then we'll get to what you've been playing. I know how to break the pile of shame.
Oh.
I figured it out. They need, since they're screwing with all this other stuff, console makers, Steam, Origin, God help us all, Green Man Gaming, they need to put the percentage that you've completed the game next to the title. Now, optional would be to be able to let all your friends on said service and devices be able to see it as well.
So the pile of shame actually shames you into playing it.
Yeah, and for those of you getting irritated listening to this, going, oh, how dare he, believe me, I would be the most shamed among us, because I guarantee you half my Steam library would probably be under 20%. And GOG, oh, let's not even go there. I get these wild hairs where I really want to play an old game, then I realize what crap the graphics were, and I can't take it, and I only play 10 minutes. That was Fallout 2's lifespan. I was like, oh my god, how did I play this the first time? All right, John, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I'm going to keep this pretty short this week, because I've been playing two games, one of which we've already talked about, Donkey Kong. I've been enjoying that still. As DeGlace mentioned, the toughness around getting those Kong letters and the puzzle pieces is keeping me going back and keeping me from progressing, because I'm just that kind of guy who wants to get everything done level by level. So I've been playing a lot of them over and over, and so I'm only a couple of levels into the beach, which is the second world, and yeah, but I am loving this game. The other game, of course, is Super Metroid. I'm at the point in the game now where I just got the freeze beam. So I'm still pretty early, I guess, but it's I've only picked it up once or twice this week, and just for an hour between the two of them. So slow going. So rather than talking about what I've been playing so much, I'm just going to give a quick talk about what I've been watching, other than Arrested Development. It's my friend Colin and I, every Sunday we get together while our wives do some scrapbooking. We watch some old movies or old TV shows and like that almost every Sunday evening. And the last couple of weeks we've been catching up on. He's watched these before, but I haven't. V, the original miniseries from the 80s, and then the subsequent follow up the year after, V, the Final Battle. We're into the Final Battle now, but just to give you some background, V is an old sci-fi show where there's an alien. These alien visitors come down in these giant ships under the pretense that they want help from the human race and to offer them help, offer us help in terms of technology and science, that kind of stuff, so they can help themselves and on their world. And so, but what it turns out to be is they kind of come down and kind of occupy the world And the parallels between their occupation and the Nazis, going into Poland, that kind of stuff, taking occupying and taking control of the Jews. There's some perhaps a little heavy-handed parallels, but they're really interesting all the same, because they're aliens, so they've got better technology. They've got lasers and stuff. Their main opponents are in of the humans are the scientists. The scientists want to come together and figure out what's going on. They kind of are smarter about the plan. They find out the actual plans of the aliens. Now, the aliens also look like humans, but they're actually reptilian, wearing these rubber masks to make them look human. But that's kind of the big secret to the human race at first, trying to keep all that negative stuff covered up, so that they look as normal as possible. And so it's sort of a resistance begins to build as you get all these parallel stories going on, where one family has their son gets caught up in sort of like their human force of the police, the enforcing their rules, and well, not so much the rules at first, but we're here to work together. But eventually, as things get rougher and around the edges, and things start falling apart in terms of the facade they've put up, they're more like a Gestapo or a secret police that are making people disappear. The people who cause problems, they get put onto a ship and brought up to the mothership, and you're never heard from again, kind of stuff. And it's really interesting. It's a bit cheesy, obviously. It is a bit cheesy. And things start falling apart a bit in terms of the believability once the fighting begins, because everything is all very political. It's all deep themes and dark stuff going on. It's really, really cool excellent sci-fi, but when, you know, it's the team of scientists that are carrying machine guns, taking on the alien guys who have laser guns, and none of it's very believable, I guess, because it's, you know, pew, 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 pew kind of stuff going on. The effects aren't that great at that point. But, yeah, it's pretty good sci-fi, and the stuff that kind of makes you think about what would happen if, you know, we ever, you know, as all sci-fi does, you know, if we ever had an alien visitors come to our planet, how would it go down? You know, how would we react and so forth? So it's really fun. It's on DVD. I'm sure it's on Netflix maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I would definitely recommend it just for if you're a fan of sci-fi, check it out.
Didn't they remake this like a year ago?
Yeah. And I saw that on Netflix. I don't know if it's a remake or a continuation. I really don't know, but I haven't delved into that very or at all in favor of the Zadie stuff. My friend Colin tells me that, you know, you can check it out if you want just for the sake of comparison, but this is the good stuff, the stuff from the '80s.
I'll tell you, actually, you just reminded me while I'm scrolling through looking up what the hell I played this week, trying to find the name of one of them without firing up Steam. I was with a group of folks, and four or five of them had never seen Blade Runner.
Mm.
So it was probably my 30th time seeing Blade Runner at this point. But it was kind of cool to see what their reaction was to it, and I like watching it every few years to see how it continues to hold up. I mean, there's a very dedicated group of nerds, and I would include among them Adam Savage of the Mythbusters, who tend to get a little overboard because they love Blade Runner so much, and because its special effects and things were pretty damn awesome for the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. And at least three of the people were not nerds, were not sci-fi geeks. And they all seemed to enjoy it. if they didn't, they kept it to themselves, let's put it that way. Which I wouldn't have cared. I'm not that hardcore. I wouldn't have cared either way. But it holds up pretty well, I have to say. I haven't
watched that in a long time, to be honest. I think I have it in my Netflix queue to watch. I think it's on there.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
Young Padawan, you have seen Blade Runner, yes?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I totally zoned out. Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Just like tears in the rain.
And one place I do, just before I get quickly into what I've been playing, one thing I do disagree vehemently with the Savage led bunch of nerds is that gun is the ugliest motherfucking thing in the world. I don't care what anybody says. And I just got my nerd card pulled for life. The prop is awesome. The gun is just god. Reminds me of a gyrojet. But no, if you have never seen Blade Runner, nerd geek cred jokes aside, if you've never seen Blade Runner, I can't recommend it enough. It's just a fun film. As to what I've been playing, more Worm Online, obviously, more Minecraft, but I finally found a good village seed. I'm doing some single player. We'll see how Glacinator's mojo gets once he's more embedded in Boston. Maybe we'll be firing back up the server. I played some Sid Meier's Civilization V again. I'd taken quite a break from that. I do that a lot when I play Civ. I did it with all of them. And not much new to report. It's an RTS, obviously. But to label it as strictly an RTS would be to doing it an injustice. It's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. I suspect that I'll stick with this new game because I have Gandhi is one of my enemies, and for whatever reason, Gandhi is always a major pain in my ass throughout my career playing Civ. What the fuck else did I play? Oh, when my internet was down, I played more Game Dev Story. I actually played a little Need for Speed Hot Pursuit or whatever the hell it's called when it's on tablet. I played some Runners too, but I don't remember particularly remember the title. What the hell else did I know I actually played some other games. Oh, and I guess I'll just do the finally since I can't remember the other ones that I farted from here to there with this week. I played Marvel Heroes, which is a new superhero MMO out. It's on Steam, it's free to play, and I'm already done with it. And I'll tell you why I'm already done with it. Not because it's Marvel, not because it's a superhero MMO. Two reasons. One, my computer, which is only a couple years old, is apparently too big a hunk of crap to run it. Two, even if it wasn't, they use a pointer, a mouse pointer, like an arrow, that you have to aim with. And you have to use the shift key to hold yourself in place while you fire. Otherwise, you run all over bloody hell. I hate that control scheme. That control scheme is the most archaic piece of shit I've ever run across. I don't like it. And so when you combine settings that are barely hanging on after much tinkering, meaning the mouse isn't moving as spryly as it could be, and the fact that there's basically no auto-aim, I just don't have time for it. It looks good. You know, it plays well. I mean, it's seemed to be a fairly interesting story for a superhero MMO. It's kind of nice to see Marvel actually doing one after all the crap they gave City of Heroes, which was a pretty good superhero MMO. For those of you, though, that want to give it a try, do not expect to be playing with Spider-Man, Deadpool, the Fantastic Four, most of the X-Men. You will not be playing with Wolverine for free. You will be playing with, like, four characters for free, and the only two I can remember off the top of my head are Storm from the X-Men and Thing from Fantastic Four. The other two I'd heard of, but they're not what we would call top-shelf Marvel heroes. I did not determine whether you can buy new heroes or buy hero packs. I mean, it just launched 2 days ago out of beta into actual release. So that is yet to be determined, but pretty much the control scheme. I guess I'm just going to have to give up and get a new video card. I think that's the only thing I can figure is holding me back in some of these games, because I have plenty of memory. Even when I'm playing a higher-end game, I know how to strip my computer down so it's using a minimum amount of memory. And I know damn good and well an i5 processor is still good enough. But if you like superhero stuff and you can tolerate an MMO so that you can play as a superhero, yeah, it might be for you, but some of those controls. And they're not reprogrammable. They've left you with them. And that just, I'm sorry, in this day and age in MMOs, that just is completely unacceptable to me. I'm not going to tolerate it. I wasn't particularly shocked by the free heroes you got. I'm from the amount of Deadpools and Wolverines and, you know, top shelf Marvel characters I saw running around, I'm sure they're making plenty of money on it. And that's all I've been playing. Pre-E3 shit. And I do mean shit, as in poop from a butt. Here's how we're going to do it, folks. We're going to start with Microsoft and the Xbox One at all. John, here's what I need from you. First off, we're going to do this in segments. I need you to tell me what you hope you hear from Microsoft at E3. Obviously, the stories we've been posting in our private secret, top secret, triple encoded chat are destroying a lot of our hopes at this point. But suffice it to say, I'm at such a point of frustration with the entire fucking industry, I am waiting until I see it at E3, personally, for all of this garbage. But I want you to tell me what you hope. Now, you can include game titles if you want in there,
But as we discussed earlier, we'll save a little bit at the end of the show to discuss a couple three games we're hoping we see. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
All right.
I think the most important thing that I want to see from Microsoft are those original IPs, which makes it difficult for me to state a lot of names, but I want to see fresh stuff. I want to see the real reasons why I should be buying an Xbox One, because I mean all the other stuff aside, with all this used games and online bullshit that's been going on, I want to know the system will live and die by its games, and it's everything that's been announced so far pre E3 has been, this game will be on Xbox One and on 360. It's going to be on PS4 and PS3. So I want Microsoft to drop some bombs and show some real impressive stuff to why the next gen's important. And I think and why the Kinect, if it's mandatory, make it worthwhile for that to be there.
That's it.
Is that enough?
Well, that's plenty. I just wanted to make sure.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, if we're gonna get into a few more titles, I wouldn't mind seeing a new Fable 4 announced. I know that they've announced that the Fable 1 HD remake is coming out for 360, but I would like to see them say, well, but we also got this in the kitty, and again, if I remember, there was rumors that they were gonna patch in face recognition stuff into Fable 3 or face for the you can do expressions, like if you smile, your character would smile. I don't think that ever happened with Fable 3. I mean, they made a lot of promises that never came to pass. If Fable 4 can use the new Kinect to do that, because apparently it's that sensitive, that would be some cool ass shit, and I would be down for that, just as an example.
Sweet.
Not a new IP, but if I was going to pick something that wasn't new.
Well, I mean, it's been done. I'm thinking it was a Rainbow Six game.
Well, that scan your face, that was Rainbow Six Vegas 2 or something. And yeah, it put your face on, your dead face on, in dead eyes on your character, I think. But this is actually, if you wink, your character winks. Like, this is very, like I don't know how one-to-one it would be, but it'd be pretty cool if it happened.
Yeah, that would be. Mr. Glacinator, what are you hoping beyond hope? Although I think we pretty much destroyed you at this point. That you hear from Microsoft.
This is purely fictional, right? Hope?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's kind of, you're more than welcome to take it into the parody angle.
Okay. Well, I hope that when the presser starts, whoever it is comes out, and the first thing they say is, to clarify about all this used games / always on, here's the information. At this point, I don't even care what the information is. I just want them to come out and say, this is this and this is what is happening. And that's honestly all I want from that part of the conference. Just clarification, honestly. Just tell me what is happening. After that, when John was talking about the new IPs and one special IP, whatever that announcement was, I hope that it's Banjo-3. I hope it's not a kart racer. I hope it is a 3D platformer, and I hope they don't ruin it again. Not that Nuts and Bolts was a bad game, it's just that it wasn't a Banjo-Kazooie game. Then I hope that they also say, oh, there's also Conkers in the works. Rare is back in business. We're not making any more Kinect sports. And I love you all, and good night. And that's what I hope, but that is not going to happen. So, and what's the other part? You want what you think is going to happen?
Oh, no. We'll get to the reality here in a minute. See, because I've come to realize that the three of us are realists. We understand we're getting in the ass with a pipe, no lube. Okay? I mean, and it's just comes down to how much sodomy are you willing to accept to continue the hobby. Yeah, that's right. I just made that analogy. Deal with it. Oops, am I going to get fired now that I said deal with it? Oh, no. As for me, I hope they tell the fucking truth.
Because again, Glacinator brought it up at an excellent point. Hope in one hand, shit in the other. That term is as old as the hills here in California, and I'm sure everywhere. And that's pretty much what you're going to be doing. You can hope in one hand, shit in the other, and I about guarantee you I know which one's going to fill up faster. But that's just what I want. Let me make a choice. Again, for the 4 millionth time, I am the disinterested party, Microsoft. Tell me the goddamn truth. Let me work it all out. Let me see if I can tolerate the bullshit to enjoy the games. And if I can't, I'll calmly walk away from this generation. Or calmly walk over to Sony. Or just go, you know what, fuck it, drop $500 in my PC and buy a Wii U down the line. As far as games go, I'm in such a attitude right now that just nothing is appealing to me. I probably played like 40 games this week just because I just cannot focus on one thing. It's all bugging me. So something mind-blowing, something that is actually new and refreshing, not innovative. Take that word and stuff it wherever you'd prefer. New and refreshing. A different take on something. You know, it appears Respawn's game got leaked thanks to Google Play's tiny preview of a game in forward cover, the dumb fucks. You know, and it just, my mood about games, you know, because you got to separate that sometimes. You know, the hardware and what they're trying to do to us is one thing, but you know, I mean, even if the consoles are perfect, if the games don't look like something I want to spend time with, what the fuck's the point? You know, so I'm hoping for new and refreshing. The truth in new and refreshing is my hope. Now, with Microsoft, John, we'll just go in the same order. John, what do you expect? What kind of sandpaper hand job do you think we're gonna get? God, I'm on fire tonight. They're all nasty, but it's funny. What do you expect we're gonna hear from Microsoft besides a bunch of waffle dancing?
I think Microsoft. You know, I think there's a. You know, I hope that they show these games as something to chew on, but you know, the focus on the all entertainment all in one box, I wouldn't be surprised if that remained a lot of the focus and the games still felt like they were a bit of a backseat. But you know, or what I'm saying about Kinect games being awesome, they're probably you know, what we might get, it would be Star Wars Kinect 2. The Phantom sandpaper hand job.
I want that on a t-shirt. Not the actual hand, you perverts, just sandpaper hand job and then like a piece of sandpaper in between the letters. I've seen way worse worn. I can tell you that right now. Mr. Glacinator, who's really probably going to bear the brunt of the sandpaper hand job. That's right. We're just going to keep right on saying it throughout the entire podcast. See if we can drop the 2 listeners per week. What are you actually expecting Microsoft to do with their time?
Actually expecting?
Yes.
Well, first of all, they're going to come out and they're not going to address anything involving DRM used sales and any of that at all. They're just going to go straight into freaking Madden 2014, whatever is coming out, and say, hey, look at this. Hey, look how much this connects with this. Hey, you can use Internet Explorer while browsing Madden and search up stats. Then we're going to integrate Kinect so that it can spy on you at all times. And then there's going to be a Star Wars game. Wait, no, there's not. That's not happening anymore. Then, how morbid do you want me to get here? I'm depressing myself just thinking about the outcome of this.
Well, see, here's the...
And then they're going to announce their their new IP or whatever and their special rare game. And the special rare game is going to be like some game from like 1982, like Battle Bears 17. I don't know. Some game that no one cares about. And it's going to look interesting, but it's going to eventually end up sucking when it comes out. Then they're going to have some dance number. And everyone's going to go, why are you doing a dance number? And then everyone's going to walk away being like, what the fudge? So there you go. It's like three sandpaper hand jobs rolled into one.
Here's what I expect. And I'm cutting this into what I expect from the company and what I expect from the hive mind. And that includes and is led by the media at this point in my mind. Because they have become no fucking better than NeoGAF, 4chan, Reddit. I expect Microsoft to finally give up and explain to us that, yes, your box is going to have to check in once a day. That's the latest word. It's a rumor. I'm sorry. People have lied. So to me, until Microsoft says it, or until I get the fucking box in my hands at a demo station or something, it's all a rumor. You can all fuck off. So, you know, that the box is going to have to check in once every 24 hours, that you're not going to be able to do anything with used games without jumping through a bunch of hoops. But here's where I depart from these two guys. I think they are going to focus on games. I think Microsoft purposefully, and some of their talking heads have actually been quoted as saying this. I do have at least rumor, innuendo, and unnamed sources to back me up, which is better than usual, that they will focus on games and that they will say, hey, you can play games on this thing. I think Microsoft is going to play it pretty straight. And then I think afterwards, no matter what Microsoft does, the press is going to flail them. Especially if Sony goes where I think they're going to go. I think it's the die has been cast. And the press is just going to absolutely flail them alive because they dared to make an all-in-one box. And that's where professional media becomes fanboys and becomes just an unadulterated bunch of jackasses. I mean, there were reasoned, thought-out arguments after the reveal, but not many. They were the exception, not the rule. Especially if you still prefer to frequent sites like Kotaku and IGN and other crap like that owned by CNET. So, I mean, it's really all going to depend on, you know, what Microsoft does, what Sony does. But I'm not expecting it to be pleasant for any of us. But like I said, in my hopes, you know, if the bullshit doesn't tip the scales past the fun, well, you know what? Then I might just keep the consumer whore trend alive and buy an Xbox One and slap it on top of my 360, and I've got two Xboxes to play. Fuck it. Now, moving on. You're dropping in and out, dude. I don't know why. I refuse to care anymore.
Oh, it's my fault. I have popcorn, and I keep hitting my Ethernet cord. So bad and lazy I am.
So you're like, when you reach into the popcorn bag, it's pulling the Ethernet out?
Yeah.
Let me guess, you have the same kind of cheapy Ethernet cords I do that the fucking tab breaks on them so it won't stay locked in?
Exactly.
Fucking hate that. I think the one that goes into this box we're recording on is the only one that's still alive. Why can't they make those better? Bastards. Okay, well, quit eating popcorn or move it to the other side of your laptop.
Yeah, we can land on the moon, but we can't freaking make a wire stick in a hole. Come on.
No, that never happened. It was on a soundstage.
Well, they can make it look like we landed on the moon.
Now this is all staying in the show. This is not getting cut out now because that, yeah, we can make it. And then the Mythbusters can disprove it, which they did. Okay, now we move on to Sony. Again, what you hope Sony says first. Glacinator, we'll start with you this time if you can tear yourself away from the popcorn.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's also my mouth. Now
he's getting you with me for what I was eating earlier. Okay.
This is, shoot.
It's stuck in my okay.
That is not a good snack right, food for when you're recording.
No, I'm gonna stop now. All right, what I hope Sony does, being the owner of a Vita, is I've heard a lot of speculation and news that they're planning on focusing more on the Vita this time around. The Vita was more of an afterthought last E3, which is counterintuitive to themselves, because I mean they had just come out and there was no news about it. So now that the Vita, I think, which is gaining more traction, I think that they might end up focusing more on it. I hope they do, because I mean I like my Vita and I hope that there's more stuff coming out for it. And the news that the PS4 will be compatible with Vita as well. You can do crossplay. All this inner functionality between the systems. I think they're going to focus more on that. So I hope they focus more on that. And I think they will, but hopefully they will. I think we'll definitely finally, see what the PS4 freaking looks like if we already haven't seen it yet. Have we seen it? Or am I just imagining? Okay, no. I think I saw a mock-up on Reddit or something.
There was a little teaser video that showed like really zoomed in shots of USB
ports and a logo
and that kind of stuff. But
I mean, yeah, but yeah, we'll finally see what the console looks like. I mean, this isn't. I guess it's not being me hopeful. It's me being practical. But I honestly feel like Sony this year is going to go a more practical route. I have no idea why. It's just that I have that feeling. Also, I think we'll probably see some more franchise reboots. I think we'll probably see a new Jack and Daxter for some reason. They've been cranking out the Ratchet and Clank, so I feel like it's time for a Jack and Daxter. Anything specifically for the PS4? I'm not sure. Did they announce the price at the original Sony meeting?
Nobody's announced price yet.
Nobody's announced price. Okay.
Sony didn't actually show a lot.
Sony showed a fucking controller.
Yeah.
And a bunch of sequels.
That's true. I don't think they'll announce the price, though. I'm going to say that now. I think they're going to hold off on that. So,
get out of the way, motherfucker!
Oh my gosh, what the fudge?
That's not a car alarm. That's a pissed off driver.
Welcome to Boston. He's still going. Wow.
That sounds like an old-timey car horn, too. He's like, fuck, he's pissed.
What is going on? Let me see it.
What the fuck is
this? He's just honking his horn outside the window.
Oh, God.
Screw him. Okay.
All right. Sorry, John. Glacinator and I are acting like a 5-year-old. I bet we're just driving John on his last nerve.
No.
Yeah, it was a joke.
I know.
anyway, get out of the popcorn! Anyway, John, what do you hope to see from Sony? That's the only one of us that actually owned a PS3 last generation.
I hope Sony takes a cue from Microsoft's, information release and very carefully choose their language well and their philosophies well on how they're going to handle similar things that Microsoft is tackling already. Because I really wouldn't be surprised if Sony had some similar plans. And I don't know, I wonder, it makes me wonder, they have this advantage that they haven't released a whole lot of information, so they might come back and have with a better game plan than Microsoft seemed to have. So I'm hoping that they're gonna put that all on the table and say why they're the system of choice, and then of course back to the games. I hope to see some original stuff. I do hope to see the obvious one, some kitty dragons. So they're starting to turn into kitty dinosaurs at this point because it's been so friggin' long. That would be pretty neat to see as a PS4 launch title, even if it is sort of a port. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being the swan song of the PS3, because that'll still sell for a good while longer, I'd say. I want Sony to back up their claims that they're the gamer system. I would like to see some other new IPs. the rumored Mirror's Edge 2, there was a bit of a news blip that came up last week where EA had posted some had a help page on their website for Mirror's Edge 2, which quickly got pulled down. It'd be kind of neat if Sony was, you know, keeps up their, you know, games for gamers, because, you know, so many hardcore gamers, you know, have been clamoring for more Mirror's Edge, and even though EA said that they didn't want to do it. So it'd be cool if Sony would put the fire under their butts to get that made, and it was something that was interesting and not just some, you know. I heard rumors that it might be, if it happened, it would be a Kinect title. but it'd be cool if it was on PS3 as some sort of an exclusive. I'd like, if they start delving into other, you know, current franchises. They already mentioned another Infamous and that kind of stuff, which, you know, more Infamous. I'm sure it'll be fun and stuff. If we're going to go God of War on PS4, I certainly hope they kind of freshen up that formula a bit. But the reality will be in the next segment.
Yeah, you both kind of touched on what I'm hoping. I guess the key phrase for me is Sony just sticks to what their product does. Explain more about it. Actually, show us the fucking thing. I don't need a price at this point. I know it's going to be way higher than we want or hope. But just stick to what you're doing. Tell us more about the PS4. Tell us that you know, exactly everything it does. Are you going to have some kind of used game stuff, internet connectivity stuff, you know? If Sony handles it right, they have the absolute, oh wait, that's for the next segment.
Ha!
I kind of hope they have time to fit in the Vita. I have some fears there with how much they may have to show. Like John, I hope they show mostly new IPs. We don't need to see any more sequels. Microsoft kind of did that too at their reveal, but it, at least, you know, they teased a bunch of new IPs. With Sony, they were just showing all franchises we know, for the most part. What else was Sony? Yeah, I think John had it right. Just strictly infomercial. I just want to know everything there is to know about the PS4, no ifs, ands, or buts, and be done with it. And then throw in some Vita love. Now, Popcorn Boy, you're going to have to actually listen to this show, because I when you disconnected last time, I said, step away from the popcorn. or something to that effect. What do you expect we'll hear from Sony?
I honestly, I really hope, I mean, hope not, they hope, words, okay. I really hope they don't do this, but I'm fearing that they will. I really hope that they don't try to pull, hey, let's compete with Microsoft and let's make this media hub. But I can see that as an extreme possibility of them, you know, totally going gung-ho into that. Oh, hey, look at this media center. Oh, hey, look at this web browser. Oh, hey, look at this interconnectivity, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. When you compete with Microsoft, who cares about games? I mean, that's the worst case scenario, but it still is plausible. I think so. So, I mean, the possibility of that happening, I'd say I gave it 50-50 for them totally going media gung-ho. I mean, it'd be incredibly stupid to. I mean, if Sony focuses on games, they got this hands down, honestly. So, I'm sorry this is so vague, but I really don't know what Sony's going to do. They haven't said anything. But I really hope they don't do that. I know this is supposed to be the realistic thing, but realistically, there's a 50-50 chance of them blowing it and being a media hub.
Oh, that's okay. John's going next, and then I'm hitting cleanup. So you're good. John, what do you expect Sony to actually do?
Well, I think, you know, Sony and other in prior E3 conferences have all about making big promises and big ideas. And here's the latest, you know, cool tech thing that we're going to be able to do that never really pans out, like with the Move. And, you know, not that the Move didn't work, but there was so many big ideas that, you know, just fell short. And I think this mandatory Vita crossplay. What's the word that they use? Is it crossplay they use? Where you can play
something? Yeah, crossplay. Yeah.
Crossplay. Like they're making that mandatory, and you know, to me, it reeks of them trying to be a Wii U. You know what I mean? It's just. It's funny. It's funny that they're going to go that direction, and they'll have all these big ideas. But whether or not it'll pay off, I don't know. I think there'll be a lot of people looking at themselves at each other, going, "Isn't this what the Wii U does?" You know, and I think if they actually show The Last Guardian, I will be shocked. I got a feeling that it's. I think that's a lost cause, or it's just going to come out and just barely be a game. So I'm gonna say they're probably not gonna show that, and I think they are gonna show some media stuff. It won't be the focus, but they're definitely gonna. I think they're definitely gonna show. Well, we got Netflix, we got this and that and that and this, but we're not calling ourselves an all-in-one box, even though it'll have a lot of the same features.
I do not expect Sony to go heavy entertainment route. I really don't. What I do expect. It's I expect them to have some kind of used game scheme. And I seriously expect that. They've been so coy about it and so teasing to the people that started a petition to keep it gamers, man. Gamers, yo. 90s, yo. We don't have the internet. Bullshit. The Always Online, I think Sony's going to skip. I think Sony had the literal fear of God put in them with the hack mess. Microsoft's had them had little nips here and there, but they never had to go through the just utter PR disaster that Sony did with that hacking mess. Here's the other thing I expect Sony to do that I think is just going to be so counterproductive, but it's so Sony. I think they're going to attack Microsoft. I think they are going to take a sledgehammer to Microsoft, claiming that they're the only ones that care about gamers, claiming all this great stuff, like John's talking about the crossplay with the Vita. And like John also said, you know, attacking Microsoft and claiming all this stuff that the PS4 is going to do, but then not telling us when it'll do it. And Sony, to me, will do a huge disservice to themselves if they actually go after Microsoft, as they've kind of passive-aggressively, very uncleverly done in past E3s. Sony really just needs to focus on their own shit. Because, to me, while the box, what the boxes do may be completely different, they have way more to show. Microsoft, you know what the Xbox One looks like. You know what 95% of its features are. We saw a controller in February. That's it. And if they're going to have this crossplay with, you know, with the Vita, you're going to have to show it somehow. So giving the Vita more love should be a priority. That's a lot of stuff to do in one press conference. Especially if you're going to go the typical arrogant Sony route and batter Microsoft because they pissed off gamers. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't touch used games at all and then just pull a typical Sony and sneak it out in a press release 3 months after the E3 show. Because Microsoft's gotten such a hammering over the DRM. I'm sorry. It's a personal opinion. It's completely 100% personal. I don't consider an internet connection DRM. What that internet connection does might be, but requiring one, but that's a tangent, and I apologize. You can take this to the bank, and you can mark my words. Unless Sony comes out with some kind of too much media, which I highly doubt, or they announce that they've got some kind of used game scheme, you can pretty much take it to the bank that the die will be cast and all the talking heads will proclaim Sony the winner of the generation, even though nothing has been released yet, and all will be well in gaming and fuck Microsoft. And that's why I'm saying Sony needs to, and I'm expecting them to just kind of tell us what they're doing. Because they've got the advantage right now, even without showing us the box. They don't have the advantage with me. They're coming closer and closer to pissing me off with their bits and pieces bullshit. But we'll see. Now, that's the E3 press conferences. But the morning of, at what I consider, even though I'm usually up at 5 a.m. Or earlier, some days for work, the morning of the beginning of E3 at 7 a.m. Pacific, according to our very own John, who's right on top of the facts, Nintendo is going to have a Nintendo Direct. Now, given the time it's supposed to start, I'm going to guess that their folks are going to be here on the West Coast, which is where E3 is being held. I am also under the impression that they do have some kind of presence at E3. We're not going to do a hope. The Wii U is out. Nintendo is using this Nintendo Direct instead of going to E3. Which, as I said in a previous show, I think is a smart call. Let Microsoft and Sony beat the hell out of each other. What do you want? As someone who loves Nintendo and GlacierNator, and as someone who owns the Wii U, John, this is different to me. What do you want Nintendo to say, to do? GlacierNator, you first.
Okay. Number one thing. Super Smash Brothers, Wii U, 3DS, whatever it is. I want to know everything about it. I want at least, not a demo, but I want a full-fledged trailer for it. Probably some new characters that they're announcing. I just want a lot of information on new Super Smash Brothers. That's number one. And number two, what is the new Zelda? Not the 3DS one, but the console version. Is it Wind Waker 2? If it is Wind Waker 2, I will buy a Wii U. You heard here first. If it's Wind Waker 2, I will buy a Wii U. I promise. I'm holding up my left hand because I have popcorn in my right hand. But there you have it. And that is all I want from Nintendo. Honestly, that's it.
Popcorn is the bane of podcasting. You heard it here first. Because he can't hold up his right hand to swear, so it's not valid, so then he can wiggle out of it later. We're going to have to do a show where you explain to me, like, it could be a whole show, too, where you explain to me how Super Smash Brothers can come out on every fucking system Nintendo does with a similar roster of characters and everybody just goes gaga over it. I mean, I do, too, but it's one of those phenomenons where...
Well, have you ever played it at a party?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the original. What was that, N64?
Yeah, N64. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah! Drunken Super Smash Brothers festival. Yeah. Usually with my buddies turned into an actual wrestling festival.
Yeah, there's only a few games that you can do that with. Smash Brothers and I think and Rock Band. That's about it.
No, Drunken Mario Kart 4-player.
And Mario Kart, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
those are just games that you always know you're going to have a good time with. So. I'm always excited for them.
I guess that makes sense. I saw a lot of E3 Nintendo Direct preview pieces that people are like, Smash Brothers, Smash Brothers, Smash Brothers. I'm like, holy shit, really? You know, you wouldn't like to see a new Nintendo IP? I understand the love for Smash Brothers. I think it just caught me off guard that was like a top priority for a lot of people. But now that you mention it, yeah. Because most of our Super Smash Brothers playing back in my right out of college days did devolve pretty much into a house-load wrestling match when players got tired of playing the video game version. Nobody was killed. Nobody was seriously injured. That's all that matters, because alcohol makes you land way better. It's not a reason to start drinking, though, that's for sure. John, what do you want? As a Wii U owner, as one of the downtrodden, since they only sell 5 systems a month, according to experts.
Yeah, yeah.
Experts that are in my head. also known as normally as the voices. They only sell 5 a month. You heard it here first. What do you want?
Well, there's what I want, and then there's what Nintendo wants. Nintendo wants to start selling systems, so I think they're going to want to make the system as attractive as possible. I could see a price drop, a small one. I could see a lot of different things like that, but that doesn't affect me as a game, as a Wii U owner, as such. What I want to see I don't know if validation is the word, but I want to see the reasons why the Wii U is a worthy system, or I'm sitting here at my desk looking at this gamepad. I would love Nintendo to show me games that say, yes, this is why this thing has so much potential. Because I think Nintendo is the company that could do it. Whether that's new IPs or, you know, the old favorites are rolled out, but with a new twist. Like, for example, I would love to see a Mario Kart, which is supposed to be shown and maybe even playable. But what I want to see is using that gamepad in something interesting. So I want to see the Double Dash formula from GameCube come in with, where you can have multiple players on Wii U remotes, and then or you know, if you're teamed up with a person, the person holding the gamepad is the person who's the shooter, you know, like, so you can do like this, the free camera, you know, pointing and shooting at people behind you or in front of you, you know, throwing shells and stuff, like this really cool uses of that gamepad, because there's so much potential in it, and I want to be, you know, I want to be wowed by it as an owner to say, yes, I made the right decision in buying this thing. Because I'm not at a point where I'm regretting my purchase, because I am playing my Wii U more than, you know, more so than probably I thought. But it's I just want quality titles. I think Nintendo are going to come out swinging in terms of announcements. Well, I hope they come out swinging in terms of announcements, because they've already said Smash Brothers is on the list. Again, Mario Kart, the new 3D Mario is supposed to be shown, and I don't want Mario Galaxy 3. I want something that's going to make me go, wow, you know, here we go. Because I mean, all these games have been delayed all this year since its launch. It's time to bring it home and show what this thing is all about.
Okay, what I want from Nintendo is just, personally, I want them more of the same. I want them to just keep doing their own thing, doing it the way they want, and maybe we'll find out once and for all if you have to work within the E3 gaming circus media cycle system. That's really all I want. I mean, I'd love to see a bunch of games. It's going to make me want to go out and buy a Wii U. But, you know, I'm not the most hardcore of Nintendo fan. I did not grow up with systems. I mean, I played them as a kid, but I didn't really particularly own any of the systems. So I just want them to continue to keep doing what they're doing, and we'll see in 2 or 3 years whether they were right to start doing things of their, you know, like these Nintendo Directs themselves, or if it just scuttles them for this generation. You know, because I mean, I'm reading a Forbes.com similar to the Bloomberg thing I posted a minute ago, where, you know, this writer's pretty much, well, unless Sony does something really bad, they've got this generation. Nintendo's already out, and Xbox, you know, and it's like, maybe. But here's the thing, and this is why I want Nintendo to keep doing what they're doing. This generation lasted 10 years. Almost 10 years. A lot can happen in a decade. So to sit here... Well, go ahead, John.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, what we see at E3 to, you know, this next week, in 5 years, is not, the systems could be totally different. Let's look at how different the Xbox is today as it was when it was first shown. You know, how it has evolved, its various interfaces, the Kinect, all that stuff. Like, there's no way of knowing what's going to come down the pipe.
Well, I have a pretty good idea. And that's why I think Nintendo may have a better chance in this battle. I have a pretty good idea the Sony and Microsoft will continue to migrate away from their core audience that they're alienating and abandoning. I'm doing air quotes. It's just so you know. So Nintendo does not... Nintendo seems to be sticking to the same path that they've always stuck to. And I've said this before a couple times now that... Few too many steps in the minefield for either Sony or Microsoft, and Nintendo may end up looking like complete fucking geniuses before this is all said and done. And that's the problem. We live, you know, with this whole pre-E3 thing. We live in a society, in a world where, what have you done for me lately? Now. I want it now. Nobody's thinking 5, 10 years ahead. 5, 10 years down the road. My brain's just wired in such a way that when I look at all of this information, you know, and there's so much to parse through because like 3/4 of it's bullshit and 1/4 of it's actually fact. I'm my personal purchasing decisions will be made personally based on what's the best available information I can get and on what's best for me personally, Bruce McGee. Calling or observing the entire generation and figuring out who got it right as a yammering head on a podcast, I don't even intend to begin to do that for 5 years. Unless they pull a short, you know, unless they pull a short cycle. And I don't think they're going to, because neither Sony nor Microsoft seems real interested in killing the 360 and PS3 dead as soon as these others launch. Because so Microsoft, a vice president of some area of Microsoft had said they're going to have a lot for the 360 at E3 too. And that perked my ears right up. Oh, really? It's not dead? You know. I think the used game thing overall, and we're moving into, let's do an overall, and then we'll move to games for the conferences. The used game thing intrigues me the most, because if publishers were able to talk Microsoft into it, you know, because every somewhat or sort of fact that's coming out, this seems like a publisher-driven initiative. To get their damn money back. It's not fair. Which they've been crying about. I mean, that's the thing. The other thing, for those people that were shocked that they're trying to do away with used game sales, they've been fucking bellyaching about it for a decade. You know, so it's not surprising that they finally talked one into it. I just don't see how Sony's going to be able to withstand the pressure if they don't do it initially. I think that's my final thought on pre-E3 is, if Sony somehow doesn't have some used game schematic, how long are they going to be able to withstand the pressure? Because
and
of
not,
it,
and not speak about it, you mean?
No, and not do it.
Mm. If, from publishers, yeah.
Right. You know, if it doesn't significantly hurt the Xbox One sales, and it kind of goes back to status quo that where people gather on NeoGAF and Reddit to grumble and cry and complain, but you know, life returns to normal, so to speak. How long can Sony withstand it if they're not going to do it initially, which is what they're hinting they're doing? Because I just don't see it lasting. John, what are any final thoughts on the conferences or non-game E3 stuff?
I think about old E3s and how they brought out lots of special guest stars and much flash and pageantry as possible. I got a feeling these ones are going to be I think this will be slimmed down. Not less slimmed down in a, you know, they're still going to be impressive, but I don't think they're going to go all out and, you know, I think they're going to be, everyone's going to try to be focused, I think, very much so, and not have any, not have information get blown out of proportion, because they don't want that to happen again, or for Microsoft's point, or Sony doesn't want that at all. So I think it's going to be streamlined and to the point, and, you know, there'll be some major bombs dropped, but it'll be, you know, orderly.
Glacinator, any final thoughts?
I think this year we'll really see whether or not E3 still has any validity in the first place with Nintendo. If Nintendo does a good job, and I suspect they will, I mean, it'll be sort of like, what's the point of having this whole conference in the first place? Which is sort of a sad thought, but at the same time, it's interesting. So, I mean, in the majority, I guess, what am I trying to say? Yeah, I'll just say the validity. This year will question the validity of its whole existence. This is the existential year for E3. That's what E stands for. Electronic Entertainment Existentialism.
Well, I think, too, that it'll be a little interesting from a podcast perspective, because this is the first time we've covered one where new hardware is being launched, as it were, or finalized.
Wii U last year.
Right, but I mean, you add two more plus more stuff from the Wii U, it gets a little, I think it's going to be a little more chaotic to wrangle. Speaking of press conferences, we have a van rant. I've been told it was recorded in the rain again, but all of it got in. Nobody got electrocuted. The van ranter survived. The man in the van, I think, is what we're calling him now. But he has some thoughts on the Nintendo Direct. Take it away, man in the van.
What the fuck? Once again, Man in his van hiding from a torrential downpour, or whatever word you want to use. That doesn't make sense. Calgary usually doesn't get a lot of rain, but hell, we're getting it now. Oh well. I really hope that people like soaking wet mail, because that's what they've been getting the past couple of weeks from Postman Patman in my van. So it's time for another rant. This time around, I'm going to talk about Nintendo. But Patman, you love Nintendo. I know I do. And it's no hate on Nintendo, really. I don't hate them. Thing is, better close my window. Thing is, I don't understand these Nintendo Directs. Sure, Nintendo Directs are pretty cool in that they're cost-effective. Doesn't cost them anything to make these videos. And for me, a Nintendo fan, I get to know the latest info just by watching my 3DS. Or my Wii, if I had the thing fucking connected. Or my Wii U. And then other people who don't own Nintendo stuff, they can watch it too on IGN, a major gaming blog. So, if you haven't figured out my point here, Nintendo Directs are doing nothing but preaching to the choir. It's not the choir that Nintendo should be going after. Hell, the Church of Nintendo used to be full. The church was so full that they had to put in extra pews. Everyone worshipped the god known as the Nintendo Wii. But things have changed, and the casual market did not pick up on the Wii U. And the church is empty. So why the Minister Miyamoto and the Pope Reggie and Iwata, why they're constantly preaching to the choir is not a bad thing at all. It confuses me that they're not going after other people. It confuses me that they're not going after the quote-unquote casuals or softcore market. Where is the marketing campaign that was so awesome last generation? Remember, we would like to play? It was awesome. They drove around in a smart car and they went to people's houses and they said, we would like to play. Yeah, that was a terrible racist Japanese accent. Deal with it. And this marketing campaign was phenomenal. On top of that, they put the Wii on Oprah, and they put the Wii on talk shows, and they put the Wii on The Voice and whatever dumb lesbian shows that people watch when they're sitting at home. But my point is, super saturation of Nintendo Wii was one of the reasons how the casual market caught on. And they have not done this yet with the Wii U. Why? Like, they can do more than one thing at a time. Reggie, he can chew bubble gum and he can ride a bike at the same time. I'm almost positive of this. So, Nintendo Directs are cool. I like them, and I don't want them to stop. Don't get me wrong. However, it totally confuses me why Nintendo is ignoring the mass market. Nintendo is ignoring advertising the Wii U to everyone else. Guess what? I already own a Wii U. I already know about these games that you're going to show on Nintendo Direct. Thank you, because I'm a choir boy and you're preaching to me. I appreciate it. But could you try to get the rest of the members of the church back? The church of Wii U could be almost as big as the church of the Wii. But they're ignoring everyone except for us. I don't know. It's weird. It's a little confusing. Anyways, that's my rant for this week. Nintendo's not much of a rant, I know. I'm a Nintendo fan. I'm just curious why they keep preaching to the choir and not to everyone else. Anyways, I guess I should go. It's really wet out there. Maybe I should stay in my van a little longer. I don't know. But anyways, I guess I should go deliver something. Catman out. See you all on the flip side. Woo!
All right, that's been our man in the van. He's back again. Thank you for braving the weather to give us another rant. I guess to wrap up the show tonight, we'll talk about games we would like to see or games we're curious about that have already been kind of teased. I was only going to do one, but then it wouldn't be fair to John. I'm going to give you two. Glacinator, we'll start with you. What two games of the multitude are you most interested in hearing more about at E3?
Definitely Super Smash Brothers, as I stated earlier. Especially how it's going to work with the 3DS. I mean, is it going to be a full-fledged game on the 3DS, or is it going to just be a supplement to what's going on the Wii U? So that's number one still. And number two, I'm going to have to go with, for sure, because I know about it and I know it exists, is the new Zelda game for the 3DS, the Link to the Past, not remake, but I guess sort of reboot. Being in Boston this summer, where I don't have a TV or anything or any systems, I'm really definitely more interested in the focus on handhelds this year, because that's all I have right now. So anything handheld is what's fascinating me at the moment. So that's what I'm looking forward to, those two.
John, drag out the only kitty dragons known to man that are eligible for Social Security or some kind of pension at this point. And yeah, whatever else you're looking forward to hearing about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some news on that. I really hope it's a release date and a solid one at that. But I've wished for that game for enough times. I want to know what Retro Studios for Nintendo is doing. These are the guys who did the Wii version of Donkey Kong Country Returns. They're the guys behind the Metroid Prime series, and they've been kind of they've done a few levels on the Mario Kart 7 on 3DS. I think whatever they're doing is going to be the big bomb that Nintendo's going to drop for a new game, whether that's a refreshing of an old IP, or if it's going to be a new one altogether. Those guys are a very talented studio. So, whatever they're doing is of great interest to me, and I hope they show it off at E3. Otherwise, you know, I would have said Alan Wake 2, but then again, they did show that Quantum whatever it was game that Remedy is doing for Xbox One. So that game I'm interested in seeing more of, even though they showed a little bit of it. And Sony, I'll stick with Kitty Dragons.
As for me, I speculated, or I said earlier in the show, that just every game I see is just kind of making me yawn. And that's me. It's not. There's a lot of great games out there that I just have no interest in. I guess off the top of my head, the Respawn Entertainment game, for the three people left who don't know who Respawn is, that's the former Infinity Ward guys, it got baby leaked earlier today from the crappy screenshot of a Game Informer cover that I was able to look at. It looks like another damn space opera game shooter, and I need more information because we don't need any more. I told John in our Facebook chat that space operas are becoming the new fucking zombies. Because with Bungie doing something that looks like a cross between Halo and Star Wars, obviously with 343 continuing the Halo franchise until we're all dead. I'm sure that Epic's not done with Gears of War prequels. I'm sure that EA will try and trot out the rotted corpse of Dead Space one more time. And space games have never been a huge interest for me outside of maybe the Star Wars franchise. I liked Halo Reach, but I liked Halo Reach because of its standalone story and a well done story at that. I'm still slightly hopeful with Respawn, but the hope has diminished immensely from the small amount of rumor and innuendo I saw today. And so I'm hoping E3 clears that up. Other than that, and it's no specific game, I want a good, solid RPG. No, I don't want Dragon Age 3. Fuck that. In the face with a bat. Because I seriously doubt BioWare can pull anything together from the first two disasters. And I realize I'm in the minority calling them disaster. Well, not the second one, but the first one, I'm in the minority. But no, I would really like, if I was going to go totally just off the rails, nonsensical, I'd really like somebody to buy the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning franchise and make me a sequel.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, because the first one was awesome. I really liked the first one. I need to play through it again. Because
you bring up a good point about BioWare. I think they've been kind of quiet since Mass Effect 3, have they not?
They're doing Dragon Age 3. I saw a news blurb today that it's going to be the Victorian era. Oh, great. So you're putting Victorian paint job on dog turds. Fucking lovely. I don't know. You know, it's actually kind of comical because I have played almost every game BioWare has been involved in. If you go look at BioWare's history, including when they were publishing or helping Black Isle with the early Baldur's Gate stuff, and Dragon Age just is like nails on a chalkboard to me. And part of it's because it's not as good an RPG as the frickin' Hive Mind says it is, and part of it's because it just isn't. It just did never sank in with me. But I think they're doing that, and you really think we're going to not get a Mass Effect prequel the way this prostitute industry works?
You know,
Shepard is a baby. Omni tool in hand, busting out of the crib to be released in 2014.
I think it's called Saints Row 4. If you haven't seen the trailer,
I need to watch that trailer.
Watch the trailer. You'll like it if you
The
like what you just said.
if you can laugh at sodomy with a pipe and sandpaper hand job, then you A, have the same sense of humor I do, demented and disturbed, and it's never going to change. I could be 80 and still be that way. And so obviously the Saints Row franchise it hits right in the groove with me. 3 was not as good as 2. 3 could have been better, but the humor was still there in mass quantities. I mean, honestly, I'm enough of a whore that if they had the humor and the great music with it, because as far as fitting the game, you know, and I'm not talking about orchestral stuff. There's the Halo stuff and Call of Duty, but as far as driving around fitting the game, I'm sorry, but Saints Row is better than Grand Theft Auto in that regard. I mean, just. I never thought I'd see the day where a Butthole Surfer song would be in a video game. God love the guys of Volition for that. And one of the better Butthole Surfer songs, too. But that's pretty much it. I want to know what Respawn's doing. I think Bungie's going to keep tap dancing in the minefield. I really don't think they keep releasing teaser art and I keep making Hoth jokes. We're going back to Hoth. Where's the at? But I Respawn and somebody give me a good RPG. Hell, if one good fairly new IP RPG open world comes out on one of the systems, that may force me to buy one of the consoles. So
if they show that news Xenoblade sequel that they teased on the Nintendo Direct a couple months back. That's for Wii U and looks as good and as good a game as Xenoblade apparently was. I haven't played it, but from everything I've ever heard, it was one of the best RPGs of last year or year before. So that might be something to think about.
Yeah, Xenoblade might get me, but I don't know. I have to have long time. Like pretty good distance between my JRPG adventures. I still like them, but they just kind of went south for me. I kind of like more medieval fantasy. Always have. And when Cloud got to the point in Final Fantasy where you couldn't really tell what sex he was anymore, some of the luster peeled off of the JRPGs. I mean, the what the hell is the 4-disc one? I still have never finished Lost Odyssey. Same thing. I mean, the androgyny in that game was brilliantly done, but it's like, yeah, I kind of like dwarves and elves and all that shit. I think that's enough show for the show. If you'd like to send us some comments of any kind about your thoughts for E3, how much you hate Microsoft, how much you think Sony's going to be great until the end of next week. We have a million ways you can get in touch with us. One, we have Facebook. Facebook is number one, or so they tell me. I tell them they're number one on almost a daily basis. Facebook's WonderPod Online, all one word. Unless you're an obvious bot, we'll accept your friend request. We have a website. It's WonderPodOnline.com, all one word, WonderPodOnline.com. Generally, these days, mostly the podcast and a little bit of wrestling is posted there. But you know what? That's kind of what it was meant for, to be the home of the podcast. There's also a lot of good stuff to dig through in the archive. Stuff from Gunsage, stuff from Glacinator, some of his playthrough videos. John's got some movie reviews in there. I've got some crap editorials that you can point and laugh at. We have YouTube channels, which I really should start doing stuff with again since I bought game capture software. Do you have the 36 Wii YouTube channel? Hell, on that channel, there's even some freaking best of or kind of clip shows of this podcast from the early days. Then we have the WonderPod Online YouTube channel. Glacinator's got his own. Our good buddy Chris Lloyd's got his Fanish channel. Oh, what else we got? We're on iTunes. I guess I should mention that. We're on iTunes and archive.org if you don't like iTunes. When I post the podcast on WonderPodOnline.com, there's an embedded player in case you don't want MP3s. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPodOnline.com. All, or not .com.
at WonderPodOnline, all one word. I'm running out of gas. And if none of that works for you, we have an email address. It's WonderPodOnline@gmail.com, WonderPodOnline@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter if you dare, at O-R-I-G-I-M. Or you can follow John on Twitter at
John Keogh, J-O-N-K-E-H-O-E.
And here's your chance for the once-a-year sighting. You can also follow Glazenator at...
Yes. At Glazenator, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It should be coming up. I'm not sure which day I should do it on.
Maybe podcast day. Let's save it for podcast day.
For podcast day? Okay.
Yeah, let's save it for next Thursday. Because the fire should have started and either been fanned to the point where we care no longer because we're all burnt, or it's all good again and we're just tired at that point. But until episode 162, I am Bruce McGee. I'm off to make some chicken strips with bacon and cheese, and damn it, we should before the start of this show. See you, people.
Cheers.
I'm all out of popcorn, so it must be time to go. Goodbye.
Thank fucking God.